Secondly, I received a letter from Public Service Committee. I think both parties will need to give them now, first of all, is to say that there's a round table taking place somewhere by the Public Service Commission, and colleague Kakane and Richard Baloyi will be attending that. After this meeting, that meeting is still on, I'll join them. So they've made an apology. Is there any other apologies besides these two? The DG also, I think, is going to that meeting. But I'm glad to see your faces here, DG, Kakane, and all of you. While you are still here, you mean the whole department? No. Okay. Can we maybe start with that submission made by COSATU now? And if you are in a position of that, maybe I think we should allow them at least to raise whatever in our presence, all of us. Because I think some of the things that they're raising here were not taken into cognizance during the time of bilateral, or there are new issues that they believe we should really take care of. I shall then call upon COSATU at least to take us through whatever you believe you want to be taken into account by this portfolio committee. I don't know who's going to speak for you. No salary increase. No wage issue that they are going to raise. Issue replacement of the WEDS agency with component on 2.1 and 2.2, concurrence of committee of minister, 2.3, the power of premier to take government component. But the best for this is for you to talk to yourself, to us. COSATU, just press the button.
Okay, we will try to be as brief as possible. My name is Prakash Naganda. I'm from COSATU. I'll be assisted with questions by Neil Newman from Nihau and by Kenneth Matuma, also from the COSATU Parliamentary Office. I'm just going to briefly just highlight the first page. We're not going to go into details, but it highlights the question that there were procedural problems that we raised initially with the bill. In terms of the bypassing of the PSCDC and NEDLAC, but because we recognized there was an interim process and that there was an attempt to, there was a process involved in terms of consulting with COSATU, we've decided to deal with those procedural problems through the single public service legislation at a later stage. But those procedural issues still stand. On specific provisions, the first point under 2.1, which is on page 2, relates to the question of, and it's just a textual correction, and I don't think that's going to be controversial. We just need the words agency to be replaced in the various sections of the bill, as agreed. We've highlighted some of the sections where we've picked it up, but I think we believe that there needs to be more careful scrutiny to make sure that it's not inadvertently left in the bill in other cases as well. The next issue that you want to raise is in relation to a new section 2, subsection 2, capital A. The original bill, as we understood, and we didn't comment on it because we had previously agreed with the original provision, related to the Minister of Public Service and Administration being able to extend employment conditions in terms to other departments in the public service that are currently excluded from the Public Service Act. We are in support of that type of provision because it would actually promote a uniform approach to employment conditions and would undermine fragmentation in the public service. We see that in response to this, that there have been comments made by the, specifically by the South African Police Services, and that provision has now been removed, saying that if there is such a determination that is made by the minister, then that determination must then be brought to a separate committee of ministers. Our concern is that you would have, you could have a situation where a determination is made by the Minister of Public Services, Public Service Administration, as a result of agreements reached in the Public Service Bargaining Council. Through a later stage, those agreements can be undone through an external process, and we believe that those ministers should actually participate in the process of negotiation and consultation through the relevant collective bargaining structures, which would include the PSCVC or the relevant sectoral chambers. Then on page 3, we note that we had raised concerns about the powers of the premiers to establish government components, and that we wanted that once these powers to be constrained using the words on the advice of the minister or the minister of finance, and that this has subsequently been undone because of comments made by the legal advisors. Our concern is that rather than actually just having removed the words on the advice of provision, should make to ensure that this power of the premier isn't used to undo national policy priorities, which could be undone at a provincial level. Okay, and then the next provision relates to 2.4, and here this is actually, in our opinion, just a technical amendment that we're proposing. Section 7, capital A, subsection C, prohibits the transfer, assignment, or delegation of any power or duty which relates to socioeconomic rights. Under 7, capital A, subsection 5, the provision reads, notwithstanding anything to the contrary in any other law, the executive authority of the government component may assign to the head of the component any power conferred or duty imposed, and it goes on. Now, we think that there may be a contradictory reading of these two provisions. So 7, capital A, subsection 5 should have the words inserted that says subject to subsection C, so to ensure that, that it refers back to the limitation on the transfer of socioeconomic rights related duties. Okay, and the final provision, 2.5, that was actually included in withdrawing that proposal. That proposal relates to the termination of employment and of government. It's actually reflected in the current act. So that's the final one we will withdraw, and now we will take questions. Thank you.
Are there any comments from the members? But maybe, Pam, I think you have heard. You can respond to what they are saying, and then we take it from there. Okay? Over to you, Pam.
Okay, in respect of the first paragraph 2.1, references to agency and agencies, I think it was really pointed out by one of the members at last week's meeting, so we rectified it in a final document so that we delete all references to agencies and replace it with components. Then on paragraph 2.2, the issue of the committee of ministers and that process, just to explain, the proposed amendment that's before the committee now is that the it's not our minister that makes determinations for the sectors. It's all the sector ministers that will make determinations in terms of their own legislation. For instance, SAPS would be the South African Police Act and Educators and the Employment of Educators Act. And when they do so, they must comply with the provisions of their own acts. Unfortunately, we were not able to check all of them, but I think in most instances they do indicate it's subject to collective bargaining. And what we're proposing now is before they make that determination, they must obtain the concurrence of this committee of ministers. But if it's deemed necessary by the committee, we could insert something in this clause which makes it clear that it's subject to collective bargaining by referring to the Labour Relations Act and then also to collective agreements. So So that would make it clear that whenever this committee makes a decision, they can't, you know, supersede existing collective agreements, and they can't, it must first go to collective bargaining. So that could be a possible solution. It may not be, you know, technically necessary given what's in their own laws, but to be clear, it could be something that could be included. Then in relation to paragraph 2.3, the powers of premiers to establish government components, the first, I think they've indicated, well, they noted this, the advice which came from the law advisors, that we can't use the term on advice of. But our main point is we can't prevent provinces from establishing these components, you know, to them not giving them that power. But we think by introducing the clause requiring them to conduct a feasibility study, we could ensure that it doesn't undermine any national priorities through that. So that's our comment on that clause. And then on paragraph 2.4, the assignment of powers, I think, well, the proposal made by Kassar to, I think one should accept it, would make it clear that assignments can't include those socioeconomic rights or functions in relation to those rights. We also discussed this already with the law advisors to just to see exactly where we can insert it, because otherwise the wording will become quite awkward. So that's that clause. Then I think 2.5 were withdrawn by Cassandra.
Yeah, because of I see your face is smiling.
Those are proposals you can live with, thank you.
Okay. All right. Now, thank you then. I appreciate also the department's response on this. But we need to look into it when it is properly inserted into the whole document, that there are no omissions, there are no mis- so that we finally we say we all agree on this, okay? All right. Okay, so yeah, we'll give a good report when we reach the round table regarding this one.
Sure.
Yeah. You were saying? I'd say you'll give a report to that round table about COSATO as input today on this one.
Oh.
Yes. But there's another one.
But I'm a bit shaky on the issue of that I'm not hearing what is exactly being agreed upon in a case of committee of ministers. That one I'm a bit uncomfortable.
Can I really suggest that the state law advisor and the department work out properly where it should be inserted, all the concerns raised by COSATO, maybe outside of this meeting? What I'm saying is that when you come to a final issue of this whole thing, let us relook it again that there are no omissions. Correct? Okay. I also received a letter from PSC this morning. I'm not sure whether this one we should deal with it later on or we should deal with it now. But I know that at least Norman is here. He will be able maybe to say something if needs be. Are you aware of this letter?
Yes, Chair Dushan, thank you very much for the opportunity. The letter is in response to the receipt of a letter from the minister. That was, I think, on the 1st of June. Yesterday, in fact, on the 5th of June, where the minister advises us to seek other means to include a clause that would make recommendations of the Public Service Commission implementable. The Public Service Commission, being occupied currently with its own plenary sessions, finds it difficult at this particular point in time to actually fully consider this particular proposal, because the one question we ask is that we don't have those law-making powers within the Public Service Commission. And it certainly, we would want to seek the assistance, firstly probably from the CPSA, for those amendments to be considered into future amendments to this particular bill or this act, alternatively into the future single public service bill, which will become an act, or alternatively into the Public Service Commission Act. But the outstanding matter that concerns the Public Service Commission is the difficulty finding concurrence around the issue of making the recommendations of the Public Service Commission's investigations implementable in terms of the entire section 196(4) of the Constitution, as opposed to the subsections of 196(4) in terms of investigations into grievances of employees, and the other one is in terms of directives with regard to recruitment, promotions, and transfers. We had requested that the entire 196(4) be considered for this purpose. Investigations under 196(4) be considered for amendments into this bill.
Thank you, Norman. I think my suggestion to the committee is that let's go through the consideration and flag that what Norman is saying, and give them a ample time to look into this thing. We're not going to come to a finality of this bill that is today, with all the comments that are made today from COSATA and the PSC. But let's go through with our meeting as it was planned, the consideration, and check if there are there any omissions, whatever. But that one, we need you to meet and have a thorough discussion with that and the department. DJ?
thanks, Chairperson. I think it's important to point out that we don't have, in principle, problems with what the Commission is suggesting as long as it's constitutional. But the Chief State Law Advisor's Office has raised concerns. So I think any engagement needs to be a tripartite one so that we can thrash it out together, so that we can just have that resolution that it's not just us and the Commission, but the Chief State Law Advisor's Office needs to be involved so that we can thrash out the constitutional or constitutionality of what the Commission is seeking. Thank you.
Norman?
Yes, we would absolutely agree with the DG on this, on the matter of a tripartite meeting as opposed to bilaterals. We appreciate the fact that the DPSA has got no difficulties with it, and we also want to know from a Chief State Law Advisor where their difficulties are, and we believe it can be done across the meeting. If we are convinced, certainly we will put that to the Portfolio Committee.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think we must give you a chance to meet and do all that. COSATO, I think your concerns also have been taken care of, but on the final document, you will be given an opportunity to look at it again if there are no mistakes, okay? With so few words, I think we can give you a chance to leave us alone as the committee and the department on this one. All right? Okay. Norman, you also want to join the others? Skagan, I'll allow you also to go. Okay. Yeah. You must mind one and show us that we treat you like South Africa. I don't see your face smiling. What's wrong? Okay. Right. Bye-bye. Then you will take us through again, I'm not to take us through the amendments, or we take us the draft, for you always refer them to the draft. Take us through page by page as you did last time.
So, Chair, do you want me to use the document showing the, all the latest amendments, or do you also to go through a list of the amendments, what's called the A list, that the Psycho Advisors prepared?
I think I'll suggest to the committee that you take us through the document with amendment, so that we show that everything is in. Mini? Usha? Okay.
Do you want me to go page by page again, or just point out those pages on which we made changes following the committee meeting on Wednesday? Last week Wednesday. Only changes.
Only changes. Okay.
See, the first changes are on page 9 of the document. Sorry, apologies to you, on page 8 we have.
This document. Okay. Okay, you seem not to be. All right. Okay, Phil.
So it's on page 8 of the document in clause 2 of the bill. I think it was one of the members raised an issue about the relationship between this particular clause and the next clause, which is the clause that we discussed now with Kosatu on the Committee of Ministers' power. So the proposal that was made by the State Law Advisors is that we include here a reference to subject to subsection 2A. We initially thought it might not be necessary that we can drop any references, but we looked at it, and I think from a legal point of view it's still necessary. But the way we've done it is a bit differently. I think it reads better. And then on the next page, on page 9, we've now omitted the reference to notwithstanding to subsection 2, so we inserted the reference in 2 itself. And then I just want to indicate something else which is actually new, which we only realize now. We all along have been saying that when the sector ministers make determinations in terms of their laws, that they must obtain the concurrence of this committee of ministers, but we never included our minister when she makes determinations in terms of this act. And surely she should also be under the same obligation. And that's actually the practice currently that it's taken to a mandate committee of government. So that is an insertion in 2A Roman 1. So it's determinations that our minister will make in terms of the Public Service Act. So those are the, I don't know if there's any comment on
that. Any comments from the members? No. Proceed, Ben.
The next change is on page 11 of the document, it also continues onto page 12. This was the discussion we had last Wednesday as well on the issue of transfer functions to other bodies, where we indicated that it is necessary to have such a power, but this would not allow the minister to transfer function if it's contrary to the constitution or other legislation, for instance to a municipality. Or vice versa. And the same amendment is on page 12 also references to anybody, which we re-included now in the amendment.
Any comments, member? Shulibai? Not. Okay, proceed then.
And then on pages 15 and 16, so this is the clause dealing with the South African Management Development Institute, and we proposed last Wednesday that we amend or substitute this clause in order to allow for a neutral name so that we can change the name of somebody once a decision is made by simply by a proclamation by the President amending Schedule 1. So that proposal in on page 16 is a new clause. But in terms of substance, we haven't changed anything from the current Act. And there was one other deletion that was in the original bill which relates to promotions, which we omitted.
Comments, members? Proceed, then. Want to say something? Okay, proceed, then.
On page 20 is the next amendment. Now, this is also discussed at the committee at the committee meeting on Wednesday, where we now proposing that the term employee to be limited to employee, so only they are could be guilty of a criminal offence. And I think there's a later on, there's just an insertion from the law advisors, a correction, the two. On page 20.
Any comments, member? Now proceed then.
The next change is on pages, starting on page 28, continuing to 29. There was a discussion on the way special service delivery units are created, that we, following one of the comments and questions from one of the members, that we should maybe then look at the same manner of creation than we create government components and departments. But the one difference is that, because this is something within the department, that we give the power to the relevant minister and MEC in the case of a province. So we redrafted that clause, which you will see now at the top of bottom of page 28, starting continuing 29. What the proposal is basically that in the case of a national department, it's a request from the relevant executive authority that, or not a request, that they establish it in a national department. So if the Minister of Education wants to create a unit in her department, she can do so, and she does that in consultation with the Minister of Public Service and Administration. But then it comes to the Office of the Premier or Provincial Department, it would be, in the case of the Office of the Premier, the Premier, in the case of Provincial Department, it would be the MEC, which is the executive authority. They can create it, but only after consultation with our minister. Once again, that constitutional limitation that we can't require them to act in consultation with the minister. So then they abolish that department, establish and or abolish. And then secondly, our minister will give notice of that by in the Gazette. And then there was also concern raised about now, are these things going to be there forever? And we didn't have the provision that it could be abolished, so we inserted also the words or abolish in this clause coming, following comment from one of the members. Then further down that page, I think it's just a correction of the insertion of and at a later place.
Any comments, members? Nyambi?
Thank you, Chair. The very same page 29, Roman figure 2, the Office of the Premier or a provincial department may, after consultation with the Minister. Maybe I might have the wrong interpretation. Does it not suppose that in a province, if a particular department feel that they want to have a
component or whatever it might be. It means that department can take it up with the minister without consulting the premier. Or am I interpreting it in a wrong way? That's what I'm going to get to, if I can be clarified.
The way it reads, that it says the MEC that wants to establish a unit within either department, there's no requirement to consult with the premier. So if that's something that the committee requires, then we will need to amend this clause and that we insert the requirement to. It may, because in the case of the establishment of departments in a province, it's done by the premier. So that we could, if that's the, you will draft wording to that effect.
Very happy to deal with that. Yambi, covered?
Yeah, I'm covered if it can be reworked, because it has got the potential of creating problems, because currently the premier is the one who has that powers, but if you want to do it the other way around, it might create unnecessary problems. But if it can be reworked to cover the part she has explained, I'm covered.
Okay.
Roger?
Sorry, Chair. Also on page 29, I was just reading I'll just read four. The relevant executive authority shall, in consultation with minister, approve a charter for each unit. Shouldn't it be approved policy for each unit? I mean, because you have, like, I don't know if you, is the word charter correct? Because charter is something, you know, like you have victims' charter, it's very generalized. Policy is more, you know, it has to be become tangible. It has to be actionable. The way I look at it.
Chairperson, these two, the policy of in law is that policy is often, it's not legal rules. And this is contains legal rules. That's why we opted for the word charter. In the case of the government component, we use the word notice because it would be a notice in the gazette that this will not be published. But maybe we can look at a different word than charter, but I don't think policy would be appropriate in this context. But we could, I don't know if the law advises, maybe a different term that we could use that could be appropriate.
Those two ladies are not supposed to sit together then. Anyway, I thank you. Well, you'll really look into this. The state law advisor will also be part of that. Huh? Okay, proceed, Pam.
Chief, I was just to look for the next amendment in blue. The next changes are on page 34 of the document. This also follows from a comment from one of the members. It's just the way we drafted the clause that it would be similar when we deal with transfer of staff. We had a separate core clause dealing with heads of departments. So we now made it part of the general one which deals with transfers in terms of section 14. Then we just refer to transfers of heads of departments in the relevant section.
Any comments, members? Okay. Proceed, Pam.
Then Chairperson, on pages 36 to 38, those are references to agency and agencies that were pointed out by one of the members, and which Kusato also raised now, which was an earlier document that I suppose I checked. So that is just a correction of that, replacing it as a reference to component.
Any? Can we maybe at the end of the discussion just come back to the whole issue of component, and maybe the DG just explain to us how this component will look? Will there be a board or whatever? How this whole thing will look? I believe there's already one in the DPSA. Or on the way. But please.
I think, why don't we deal with it now and wait for a later date?
Term G?
TJ, you want to say something regarding that? I don't like to postpone something in question. Okay.
Chairperson, yes, a government component, first of all, in relation to your question regarding whether it would have a board, it's not a requirement, or we provide for it, that it could have an advisory or consultative a body in relation to that component. But the decision-making powers wouldn't vest in the board. It would be in the head of the component on the one hand, and then as the accounting officer. So it would be similar to the head of a, as the head of the department. And secondly, in terms of HR powers, it would vest in the relevant executing authority. For instance, the minister or a premier or MEC would have all the HR powers in relation to that component. Just maybe to emphasize some of the differences, the one was, you would recall that in relation to the agency model, we proposed that they could perform functions in relation to the socioeconomic rights, while it's now prohibited in the case of government components that they can't perform those functions. And then in terms of other differences between a government component and the department is that in the case of a component, we could have assigned powers but subject to parliamentary approval. So for instance, if a particular law assigned functions to a department, it could now be assigned to the head of that component. And that's where we identify the particular function that we want that component to perform separately from a department. Then it could be assigned to them, or it could be delegated if in terms of the act as well. And then the minister, our minister can also transfer functions in terms of the act to such a component. Then once again, in terms of the relationship between the head of the department and the head of the component, is that we propose in the amendments that a government notice will spell out that relationship, because there is an oversight role for the head of the principal department to assist the executive authority in relation to that component. But the details of that will be captured in a government notice that will also be published so that the public can see it. In addition, we also indicated that all the powers and functions, the original ones and the assigned ones of components, will be published in a government notice, which I think it's convenient for members of the public, because then they can see what would be the functions of this component. As opposed to, as in some departments, people may not even know what are the functions and powers of that particular department. Well, now in the case of components, you would be able to see that.
You want to say something?
Just very briefly, because the Honourable Member did ask whether we have one. We established the CPSI, was it 2001 or 2002? 2001. Centre for Public Service Innovation, and when we established it as a Section 21 company. When we undertook the review of public entities, we basically felt that departments establishing components as Section 21 companies was not good practice. That was just a review we did with recommendations, but we felt strongly enough about those recommendations to act in accordance with our own recommendations. So we just established the CPSI as a Section 21 company. It's currently housed within the department, but the vision is to establish it as a government component, but to also establish an advisory body to the Minister on public service innovation. And then the implementation arm would be the Centre for Public Service Innovation. So it wouldn't necessarily be accountable to that advisory board, but it would implement the advice given to the minister as an operational component of the Ministry for Public Service and Administration. I hope that just sort of clarifies where we are in that one. Thank you.
Go ahead. covered members. Okay, then let's proceed.
Chairperson, the next amendment is on page 44 of the document. The question that was raised in a committee last week was in relation to the words at the end. We see that the lesion and the retirement will be to the advantage of the state, and why we have such requirements as well. And we, I also indicated that there's a current section in the Act that actually only has requirement where we say if sufficient reason exists. So what we're proposing now is that we follow the same wording as the current section, or earlier section in the subsection in section 16, to read that it's a if reason exists, which the sex authority, which is the executive authority, deems sufficient. So that's the proposal in relation to this clause. And that's where someone requests to be retired earlier, before they reach the age of 60. I'm just checking if there's anything else.
Before the age of 60. And that's what it Chairperson, say when somebody wants to retire before the age of 60, it gives the department the power to refuse that. Say, for instance, when the skills are needed. But the problem that I'm having now, even though the skills would be needed, but if the individual, the employee, still insists that he or she wants to retire before 60, what would be the implications of that? Thank you.
There's another clause in the bill, in the current Act, which if a person reaches the age of 55, he or she has the right to retire. And if he exercises that right before he reaches the age of 60, and there's no approval required from the employer, they are penalized in terms of the pension benefits. The closer they get to 60, the less it is. What we're proposing now in this clause is that employee can, instead of exercising that right, he can approach the employer and say, I want to retire. And if the employer approves it, that if he's 55 years and older, then there will be no penalty. In that case, and that is to give the same benefits to employees between 55 and 60. Well, currently, if someone is 51 and they ask to be retired and it's approved, there's no penalty. But there was no provision for people between 55 and 60. But then, obviously, we want to give the right to the employer if this person, if skill is still needed, that they can say, no, you must stay. And then if the employee still wants to leave, then he can exercise that right, but then he will suffer that penalty in terms of his pension benefit.
Covered taking. Is it negotiable? If I want to negotiate, the employer still needs my skill, but I want to go. Is it negotiable? No, I'm just on the lighter note.
Chairperson, I think again on the lighter note, if the employer feels that they don't need your skill, it's not negotiable, is it?
Yeah.
If you are not needed anymore, it's not fair.
Yes, if discussed is inappropriate, then please. Are you proceed, Prem?
Chairperson, those are all the changes that we've made subsequent to the meeting of the 30th of May last week to the document. And what we did is, what the law advises did is to compile a list of all the amendments which the committee, when it comes to that stage, will have to vote on. But obviously those changes that came from the CASALTA submission this morning, we still have to include in that document as well. And then resolving the TPC issue.
Okay. Will you then work out, I think, we shall only accept this document if the concerns raised by CASALTA are inserted in the document and those of PSC, and we have a complete document and then we go through it again before we come to a final state. State law advisor, you agree? Okay, members. Well, we have come to a TJ.
Chairperson, we do agree, but I think we are as anxious as you are to close this business. So we would request that you impose a time frame on us. I don't know if that's a possible request, and tell us to come back within 7 days, maximum, I would say. I don't know, obviously you've got a program, but I would prefer that sort of arrangement so that we really have to drive this thing to finality in terms of how far we take it and put it in your hands. Thank you.
Now, I want to be fair on this, PG, by saying maybe next week, Wednesday, what's the date, is it? 13th. 13th, let's come to a finality of this whole thing. You're right, if you don't really push you people, you'll be taking other directions. So I also want to get rid of this thing and do other things. Meaning?
The debate is scheduled for the next Thursday. The debate is scheduled, but I think it's provisional for next Thursday, the 14th. It's on the parliamentary program, like that. The debate on this bill.
Thursday next week. But you see, my suggestion is that we come like this on Wednesday. And then the next day, we debate it again in Parliament. Okay? So that you don't start raising questions when we're already debating it. Okay? Nyambi?
I'll support a view that you'll give a day before the debate to the extent there are problems. Because if we are going to say we have to finalize it on Wednesday and the debate is on Thursday, if there are things that they have to be attended to and the following day is the debate, then we might find ourselves in a serious problem. So I suggest that let's have the day free. Like, if I may propose that if we can try to squeeze it and have it on Tuesday, then if there are some problems, then it can be attended on Wednesday, then we are sure that on Thursday we are going to debate it.
Many?
I'm a little bit in... Maybe it's not next Thursday, maybe the Thursday after that. But I've got it that it's next Thursday on the program here. Yeah. I think so, yes.
State law advisor?
Chairperson, I'm not sure, but I think, isn't there a rule about how many days that the bill should be finalized before? There should be a certain number of days between the reading, after the decision of the reading. I have said it's 3 days, but I may be wrong. Perhaps the committee people can help me.
Can we look at that? And then there is that kind of a requirement, we'll look into that thoroughly. We'll inform the members accordingly. Okay? Mene? Okay.
Parliament is still in session the week after that, sir.
Okay.
After next week, sir.
DJ?
We've been advised that Friday might be a possibility, and if Friday is a possibility, it puts pressure on us to resolve the matter, which we're in favor of doing.
This Friday?
Yes. We've been advised.
Okay, I have a program for Friday. No, I think, Didi, I must be honest with you. I don't want to be pressurized on this thing. The reason why we pick up problems like those of COSAT and those of PSC is because of pressurizing ourselves on something that we're not supposed to be pressurizing ourselves. I want us to give every ample time for everyone to look into this thing. But I'd love to say Friday, but I don't want to operate like that. I really don't want to operate under pressure in doing that. We're making a law, and this is not a collective bargaining. Yeah. I think let's meet on Tuesday, and then we finalize it on Thursday next week. Okay? Agreed, eh? Yeah. Did you?
Thank you, Chairperson. Even collective bargaining requires a lot of patience. Thank you.
Well, I thank everybody. I think on behalf of the committee, I must maybe commend the extension of your period as a DG. I only heard about it yesterday when the minister announced it. We thank that extension for you. You're still a good person. I don't know when you're along with us, what are we going to encounter, but now, thank you very much. We appreciate that. Those you were the meeting standard, and I think you must try and speed up also the negotiations on the other side. Upper 12, the lunch is available at Max Bill's building, upper 12. You know where this they want around table. Ephraim.
Remember the name and tell you now.
Are you okay? Are you alright? Are you okay? Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.